It's been so long, I forgot how we do this class. But thank you all for coming on this beautiful beach day. So these are the real students here, willing to make any sacrifice. Just give me a minute here to set up. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Taksurum Blitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasudevor Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I'm so happy to be with all of you again. And this is my conviction, doing this for so many years, that people who want to move forward in spiritual life, Krishna consciousness, it moves by faith. And faith is your conviction. And you can't move an inch without faith in any direction. And the faster you move in a direction will be based on your faith. And that faith or conviction comes from systematically hearing the Shastra, the sacred texts. And I see it just works. People at their own pace, but at least at a pace, they're moving forward in Krishna consciousness. And I think also the tradition means books of knowledge. That's what Guru Parampara, line of teachers, mean. It means people who have studied the Shastra, the sacred text, have lived it, applied it, realized it, and therefore can teach the sacred texts and or share it according to their realization, and we can move forward. So I really get a lot of satisfaction. And I say technically today is the last class, technically, because I have 3.5 verses to cover. But as I told you before, I was a coach, so I have all kinds of strategy. And, we're reaching the culmination. Because as you remember, when we studied the Upadeshamrita, the nectar of instruction, when we studied it, I started with the last verse. If you bathe once in Radha Kund, you awaken your eternal relationship with Krishna, and you should do that as many times. And it's I see Julie, your mind is going back there to that sacred day.
It's all day.
Amazing, huh?
Yeah, amazing.
What an experience, huh? But you have to go, I said at the very beginning, but you have to go through the other verses first. It's systematic. It's called sadhana kram. It's step by step. And this is the culmination of your sadhana when you sincerely chant the Hare Krishna mantra without offense. You're much, except for one man here on my right, you're much, much younger than me. You're much, much younger than me. So if you start now sincerely with chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and moving forward, the practice is as you do it without offense, taramadye sarvashreshte nama sankirtan Taramadye sarva sheshte nama sankirtan nira aparade poya paipa. Then you do it out of offense, then you get praying, love. And love means in relationship. Love is in relationship. So when you have love, you have a relationship with God. And that's what these last verses are about, that a relationship awakens. And the relationship is in one of the rasas or relationships with Krishna. And there are five. There's shanta, which is basically an appreciation from God. I consider it kind of like a fan. You just send to the audience and you clap. You don't do any service except you appreciate Jai, God's so great. You know, Hall of Fame, rock and roll, whatever it is. So, and then there is dasya, servitude, and sakya, friendship, vatsalya, parenthood, paternal, and madhurya, conjugal. And this is very, very deeply described in books like Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Ujjvala Nilamani, etc. But you have to go through these steps, as we described before. So we have to go through these steps. And Vajra Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Uttara Pasta Vegam. You're controlling the urges born of the ego that fortify the material conception of life, right? And that's the junction. What do you consider the authority for your life? Is it what I want, or is it what is right? And what is right is that we are particles of consciousness, part of the Supreme Consciousness, and we're meant for service of God in a particular relationship, and everything we do is secondary to that. Secondary means it's not that things are not important, but the reason we do things is to achieve that. So we have many things. There are relationships. We discussed this in other classes that we have in the world for different reasons, serve different purposes. But the most important thing is to develop love of Godhead. Prema Pumartha Mahan. The Artha Mahan, the greatest Artha, Prema, is love. What can be a greater goal or a greater value than to have love? And to have the highest love, which is love of Godhead. So, when you want to be guided by truth, by the absolute truth, by the will of the absolute truth, by the telegraphic message from above, rather than the screams from below, rather than the screams from below, me, I want this, no. When you want to be guided by that, then we adopt a process to appreciate that, to understand that, to practice that, to realize that, to achieve that. And what we are to achieve is a consciousness and a place and a relationship. And that's the goal. And we have achieved the goal today, at least in the class, of at least coming to these verses and actually studying them. So I'm just going to put here a little quote from Prabhupada. Although I am presently living in America, my residence is in Vrindavan because I am always thinking of Krishna. Although I am in a New York apartment, my consciousness is there and this is good as being there. So I just wanted to put this is from the Path of Perfection, Chapter 9, that we're going to be talking about very high places. But the high places are not just places, they're states of mind and they're consciousness. And even when they talk about bathing in Radha Kund, I will read the last purport by Prabhupada, what that really means. Bathing in Radha Kund, what that really means. It means in a particular consciousness with a particular realization. Although the effect is there, at least if you can go in a respectful mood, in an undeserving mood, in a humble mood. And we know, how many people here have gone to Radha Kund with me? I know Janine, okay. Amber and, okay. Right. And you know, when I go there, you know, the same way in is the same way out. So it's a little bit, even today, a little bit of an exclusive place. And you know, we go there in a very serious mood, chanting the holy name, so that we can have some appreciation. And we know one of the themes of this class is that the experience of spiritual phenomena very much has to do with faith. It's kind of somehow conviction, you know, opens up the mind. Conviction opens up the mind, and when you have the full conviction, then you have the full effect of spiritual phenomena. So there's a particular conception, there's a particular consciousness by which one experiences places and spiritual objects. But consciousness is important. That's why I put this at the beginning, just by Prabhupada, who's emphasizing that. It's consciousness. You know, how many heard me tell the story of me coming into Vrindavan by the Radharani Express? No? What? The what?
There were in one of the cars, there were a lot of sadhus.
I think I heard there were sadhus, yes, in the train. Okay, I'll tell the story. I was in Vrindavan. When I came to Vrindavan, I didn't come there just to sit and chant Hare Krishna. I came for service. And that's another point. Going to Radha Kund has to be in the mood of service. If you don't approach a spiritual phenomenon in service, you won't be in contact with that spiritual phenomena. Because the absolute truth only comes to be served. If you're not in that mood, you won't have the absolute truth. So you have to be there. And so I went to Vrindavan, I went for service. We never even went out of the compound. In fact, there was one saint. It's a small compound. I don't know, what is it, less than an acre or something? There's one saint that was the cook in our place, and then he got too old to cook, and he was handing out the charanamrita, the water that bathed the feet of the deities. And then he couldn't even leave his room, and he was still had to found a way to serve. But he came there for service, and he never left the compound in 40 years. And he was considered universally, his name was Vibhu Chaitanya. I can give a whole class on Vibhu Chaitanya. He was universally respected as the topmost Vaishnava. Very, very humble soul. So this point of consciousness, faith. So it's expected, this Radha Kund bathing, you know, the best thing to do, with a certain understanding, a certain realization, a certain consciousness. That being said, going there and chanting Hare Krishna even today can be a life-altering experience. And I have to go back to the previous chapter. I didn't finish, but this is where my mind is going right now. And I also told this story the first time I bathed in Radha Kund. I think it was 1976, something. The two maharajas at that time, I was just a brahmachari, and I went with these two heavy maharajas, really heavy. One was from Texas. You know, we have religious staffs. I just don't carry it. Most people don't carry it, but he was from Texas, and he carried it like a musket. It was like, you know. And they were there, but I remember when we bathed, it was the appearance day of Radha Kund at a time when hardly any people were there. And when we bathed, I really had the distinct impression that our false egos were in the puddles on the ground after we bathed, because it was like being with different people. So somehow or other, being guided, going in the right way, still even today, if you can open up your consciousness, be mindful, be faithful, there can be tremendous experience. But the real experience that they're talking about is when one's faith comes to the level of really uttama bhakti, where your faith is such that the only thing you do is to please Krishna. And again, it's not, doesn't mean renunciation from the world, it's a particular consciousness. What you like to do is please Krishna. It's not that I like this and I'll do it. It's pleasing to Krishna, that's also nice. But it's out of love you're doing everything. You have a liking. And that's really what the ultimate purity is. Very simple. You like to serve. You actually have, that is your taste. Not even a particular thing. You just like to serve. You love. Love, it doesn't matter. When you're in love, it doesn't matter. You just want to please, whatever it is. And that feeling in relationship to God is not just a mental feeling. It's actually having the loving energy of God in your heart just awakening the seeds of your devotion. And that becomes your life. So it's consciousness. And I would say better to be in New York thinking of Vrindavan than being in Vrindavan thinking of New York. But best to be in Vrindavan thinking of Vrindavan. Right? I'm saying, Janine had such an incredible experience this year in Vrindavan. Because generally, after you come for a few years, you have different strategies how you'll be engaged. Because initially, we take people to the holy places. She decided just to worship the cows and be a gopi. So she went with the cows every day and just be with the cows and serve the cows. And it's just a wonderful experience, Vrindavan. So now let's go back and discuss a little bit about the previous chapter. Ruthie, maybe we can have those verses and we can chant to up where we are. I know I have a tall task to, yeah, we're okay. We're okay. Okay. Why don't, Lucy, you begin. Oh, we'll chant the Sanskrit together, then you'll do the English. Vacha vegam manasa krodha vegam jiva vegam mudra pasta vegam etan veganyo visheheti dira sarvam api mam prithivim sasishyat. Atyahara payasascha prajalpo niyamagraha jana sangascha lolamcha shabir bhaktir vanasyati. Ashley?
One's devotional service is spoiled when he becomes too entangled in the following six activities: eating more than necessary or collecting more funds than required, over-endeavoring the mundane things that are very difficult to obtain, talking unnecessarily about mundane subject matter, practicing the scripture rules and regulations only for the sake of following them and not for the sake of spiritual advancement, or rejecting the rules and regulations of the scriptures and working independently or whimsically, associating with worldly-minded persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness, and being greedy for mundane achievements.
Utsaha nishtaya daryat tat tat karma pravartanat sangatyagat sato vrite shabir bhakti prasidyati. Anybody? Janine? Kirtanams. Vishnu Smara, yeah. Go ahead.
You're enchanting and remembering Krishna. 5, abandoning the association of non-devotees. And 6, following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. These 6 principles undoubtedly assure the complete success of your devotional service.
Tadati pritagrinati guyam akyati prichati Bhunte bhojyate cheva shadvidham pritilakshanam.
Offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentiality, confidently, accepting prasada, and offering prasada are the 6 symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another.
Krishneti yasya giritam manasa dhyeta dikshasti chet pranatabhishcha bhajantam isham shushrushaya bhajana vigyam ananya anya nindari sunya hidam ipsita sangalabhya.
One should associate with and faithfully share that true devotee who is advanced in undeviated emotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of propensity to criticize others.
Tristai svabhava janatai viparshascha doshai na prakritatva miha bhakta janasya pasye. Gangam basam nakalu bu buddha pena pankai brahmadravatram apagachit niradharmai. Minakya.
Being situated in his original Krishna conscious position, a pure devotee does not identify with the body. Such a devotee should not be seen from a materialistic point of view. Indeed, one should overlook a devotee's having a body born in a low family. body with a bad complexion, a deformed body, or a deceased or infirm body, according to ordinary vision, some imperfections may seem prominent in the body of a pure devotee, but despite such seeming defects, the body of a pure devotee cannot be polluted. It is exactly like the waters of the Ganges, which sometimes during the rainy season are full of bubbles, foam, and mud. The Ganges waters do not become polluted. Those who are advanced in spiritual understanding will bathe in the Ganges without considering the condition of the water.
Sat Krishna Nama Charatari Sutaptya Vidya Pito Pataptya Rasanasya Narochikanu Kinvadarad Anudinam Kalu Saiva Drishta Svadvikramad Bhavati Tad Garamula Hantri. Anybody else there? Tiffany? Yeah.
The holy name, character, pastimes, and activities of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jhanas of abhijja, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is wonderful that by simply carefully chanting sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue, and his disease is gradually destroyed.
Tannama rupa charatari sukirtananu smityo kramena na manasina yoja tishtan vajetanu nuragi jananugami kalam nayeda kilamit yupadesha ram. Tatiana?
Nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, and eternal pastimes, thereby gradually engaging one's tongue and mind. In this way, one should reside in Vraja, Goloka Vrindavana Dhamma, and serve Krishna under the guidance of devotees. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees, who are deeply attached to his devotional service.
Okay, Rati, go back to that overview of Upadeshamrita. Okay? Okay. My service is to teach, so you're the students, and I want to make sure that you learn something. Not that you're just entertained. So therefore, I'm going over things again and again. And as I go over them again and again, I myself learn them even more. So I want, when you hear these verses, that a lot of the meaning of the verses come into your minds automatically when we chant them. And it is such an incredibly excellent summary of Krishna consciousness, very practically. So, again, we had these two voices, and you got to really quell the voice of the ego that fortifies the self-centered conception of life. And that's the beginning. And if you want to become established in any spiritual path, you have to succeed in that. You have to succeed in controlling the different vegas or the pushings of the ego represented in the material body, etc. So the first verse was a symptom of someone who's actually, you know, ready to become serious about Krishna consciousness. And then we had the three verses about the external behavior, what one does, what one avoids, what one, the things that are unfavorable, the things that are favorable, and then how you relate to get the benefit of sadhu sangha. And then we had the internal development, Let me just... Yeah, first, internal development was how we see the different levels of devotees, both others and ourselves, and therefore how we relate to actually get the benefit of sadhu sangha. And what is sadhu sangha? Sadhu sangha is the good association of devotees. And what does sadhu sangha mean? The best sadhu sangha is more advanced, like-minded, and affectionate, some relationship. So how you see the various devotees, and then the next verse was how you don't see, just externally, just on the bodily platform, in various ways, but you really try to understand and see their level of commitment and surrender to that voice of the will of God, despite their external struggles. You try to see their sincerity. And then, again, the internal development and the vision is very much connected to the holy name. And we saw in verse 7 that this is the process of awakening Krishna consciousness. And even if you don't have the relish, if you do it, it will awaken. And what is the relish? The relish is love. And what is love? Love is a relationship with God. I always quote, it's not a quote, but in that drama that I wrote with this Alexander Strain, and when we discovered this ancient text in this old library where it had this incredible appendix called Sri Krishna Lila, a reasonable conception of divinity or something, Sri Krishna, a reasonable conception. The first principle was that everyone is looking for happiness, and happiness is love. If that exists here, why should it not exist in the ultimate reality? And love means relationship, relish. That's what relish is. Relish is relationship. That's why in bhakti, the deities are so important. The deities are so important because that's how you develop a relationship with God, a personal relationship with God. And then when you chant Hare Krishna, you see the deities. When you see the deities, you see the holy name. So, and then at a particular time, then, and we're going to discuss this verse a little bit today, you awaken. You awaken a relationship with God. And once that relationship awakens, then it becomes easier to fully focus your mind on God in a relationship with God. Okay. So now I'm going to... okay, Rati, the next verse... So, not the next verse. We're going to discuss, because it said the essence of all advice. So I just want to give a summary of the essence of all advice. I'll read it again. The essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely chanting, remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form and quality and pastimes, thereby gradually engaging one's tongue and mind. In this way, one should reside in Vraja and serve Krishna under the guidance of devotee. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotee who are deeply attached to his devotional service. So this verse says, with the commentary by Prabhupada, one has developed such attachment, he can spontaneously serve the lotus feet of Krishna even without the regulative principles. Regulative principles mean that your impetus for focusing your mind and practicing, your impetus is your understanding. I do this because it's good for me. And therefore, you're guided in your practice and in your focus, because again, how any meditational process works is it focuses the mind. Every spiritual practice focuses the mind. So you can focus the mind in one or two ways, by an understanding that we should, or an attraction to the object that you're focusing the mind on. So initially, before we have that natural attraction, then we have to be under regulation to a certain degree. We have to be under regulation. We do things because we understand they're good. And then it becomes mixed with a certain attraction, a certain taste. And of course, the duty of the spiritual master is to find the ways and means to keep someone engaged in his mind. But even with that, you know, there's still regulation and duties and ways to do it. And satovrite, remember the favorable things? We follow the sadhus, how they went. So we're following this path, not whimsically. And by doing that, and by the association of advanced devotees, then you develop spontaneous attachment to serve Krishna. And it's no longer a question of obligation or duty. It's an attraction to Krishna. And at that stage, when you develop that attraction, and I guess I'll just go over it very briefly, when you develop that attraction that you want to serve Krishna in a particular way, that awakens in your heart, then there's a practice to cultivate that and absorb your mind. And that's called Raganuga Bhakti. And once that attraction develops, then it's going to describe how you do it. But basically what happens is you begin to nourish your particular attraction, because that's your love, by hearing about people who have that love, and hearing about Krishna as the object of that love. And you begin to hear, and you begin to cultivate that love. And then you begin to worship the form of that love, Radha and Krishna, or Krishna Balaram, or Baal Krishna, Krishna as a child. People who have that mood of, I want Krishna as my child, then they worship the form of Krishna as a child. So basically, you cultivate that, and there's a lot of ways in which it's described. It may be beyond this class, but basically, you begin to follow a resident of Vrindavan, and you begin to hear how they serve, and you begin to hear about their mood, and then your own mood and your internal hankering begins to increase more and more and more. And you begin to, and there are certain prayers that are written, and then there are certain books that the Goswamis wrote. And you begin to nourish your particular feelings of devotion in that way. And obviously, when you have that kind of natural attraction that awakens in your heart, I think many of you, at least as you've been in Krishna consciousness and you've been serving Radha Muralidhar in the temple, and you've been in Vrindavan, at least you're getting it's kind of like a focus. Your God is beginning to become, it's called Ishtadev, the form of God who I love and have an attraction for. It comes into focus. And how does it come into focus? Well, now it's not just God, but it's Krishna. It's the form of God in Vrindavan as a cowherd boy. And there's some aspiration that I want to love Krishna as the people who have that relationship do. And then there are so many, like Lord Chaitanya, his example at the end of his life, Lord Chaitanya showed us what the process was. He was in the, he was in a little cave, a little room called the Gambira. And when he was in that room, he would be chanting, because chanting is the process. It's direct communion with God. But it's not just chanting, it's chanting the name of my beloved Lord. And cultivating a relationship with God as he's appeared in the holy name. And then he began to hear from very qualified devotees the stories of the people who had the love he was aspiring for, and the object of that love. And that's the Bhagavatam. So he began to hear the stories of the Bhagavatam. And then the poetry and the songs, many songs written about that type of love, and many poetry about that type of love. And then so he began, and then the chanting would become more and more absorbed. And then what would happen is, he would chant the name, but then the form of God would appear. Just like you can say the name of a person, right? If you say Virabhadra, you know, then you see kind of the cut off shirt, the little beard, right? Right? and then you see how, but then if there's really deep, deep love of God, then it's the name, the form, then the qualities. And then the person's qualities manifest. And then finally, the activities manifest. So Prabhupada said, it's spontaneous. One is actually thinking of Krishna, and he's meditating on Krishna, and he's cultivating this spontaneous feeling that comes from chanting the holy name without offense and associating with the devotees who have this spirit of love and the other practices of devotional service. And going on with this is the base core thing is giving up pride and becoming humble. Because pride means you keep yourself in the center and you never see who is. So it's that process of giving up pride, that's what's usually neglected by people who take to the process with ego and want to meditate on Radha Krishna to feel that they're a better devotee than anyone else. Or they do it for their enjoyment rather than the mood of service. So you see, it's all connected, the mood of service. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur considered that printing books, distributing books, doing kirtan was part of rag marg, was part of spontaneous devotional service, because it could be done in that mood. And what is the mood? The mood is loving Krishna and bringing souls to the feet of Krishna for Krishna's enjoyment. So the whole process, but it was a gradual process. And you couldn't neglect the steps of humility and dedication and surrender to Guru. But it's all based on this holy name, this direct communion with Krishna, that becomes revealed when one is chanting without offense. Next, Rati. Now this is a commentary. We did have that other commentary by Prabhupada's godbrother. And one Western gentleman once stated that there are many conceptions of religion in different parts of the world, but we do not find any conception of religion where 24 hours a day can be devoted to the service of the Supreme Lord. Not only Sunday, not only twice in the day, not only thrice in the day, but every hour and second devoted in the service of the Supreme Entity with nothing left behind. That is never to be found anywhere but in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. This sort of service is only possible in Kirtaniya Sada Hari, Kirtaniya, doing Kirtan always, and in the Astakalila Lila of Sri Krishna Chandra and Madhurya Rag. Prabhupada mentions this, I think, in the 10th verse. Astakalila Lila. And what it is basically, as one is advancing, this is a very elevated subject, but because, remember, at the beginning of the purport, Prabhupada was talking about controlling the mind. Controlling the mind. The mind's the friend, or the mind's the enemy. There's klishta vritti, aklishta vritti. There's degrading thoughts, there's elevating thoughts. And ultimately, the most elevating thought is love. All-consuming love for God, completely absorbing one's consciousness. So that's what they're saying. This is the process to come to that point. And then in those particular types of practices, I can see that we may have another class. And I could feel it right now because there's so much I want to say. And and Prabhupada only mentions this once in all his books. Asta Kalila Lila. But basically what it is there is one book called Govinda Lilamrita, written by Krishnadas Kaviraj, which is a day in the life of Krishna. So it describes 24 hours. Kind of, it is, but you have to enter it. It's not just you can understand it intellectually. You have to realize it. And therefore, it's... But anyway, it describes minute by minute. And what it's saying is, one can be in that mood that I want to serve in this particular way, and at the vantage point of Krishna's pastimes, one is praying to serve as those people are serving Krishna. And not just the visual, but the feelings and the thoughts. And there's many books written by the Goswami. This is very esoteric stuff. It's practically never taught, but we have the book, so we have to touch it. Even Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was very conservative about this, even more than Prabhupada, I think, in one sense. Although Prabhupada may be a little... And conservative that... he wouldn't let the people in his mutt, his temple, discuss it. They would just read through it. Because he felt that unless you had a certain realization, you wouldn't have a frame of reference for it. It's like just a young girl. You can't teach, you know, romantic, erotic feelings. They don't have the experience yet. So he felt there was a certain level of consciousness that one would have to have to actually really understand and realize it, and not project one's own, what I call, spiritual prejudice. You know, project on the similarity and the forms of Radha and Krishna and the romantic experiences that I have or I understand, and project the feelings behind my experiences onto the Absolute, which is pure love. Because we should know something about this. And but he's saying this is how they would actually, the goal would to be absorbed in tanama rupa charitari. The essence of all advice is to absorb the mind in Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes, beginning with the name. And of course, the best way to absorb one is by kirtan. It's the most effective way to become absorbed. You become absorbed in kirtan. And you have that experience and relationship. So, but the absorption ultimately will happen when one has an identity a spiritual identity, not an egotistical identity. At least I am the servant of Guru and Krishna. And beyond that, from the servant of Guru Krishna, I am the servant of Guru and Krishna who are serving Krishna in this mood. And this is the relationship I aspire for. And then when that awakens by mercy of Guru and Krishna, then one begins to cultivate it. And there's so many songs and so many poems and so many conceptions and so many stories. And that becomes reflected in whatever one does, even the way one sees Krishna. You may even look and see the deities of Lord Ramachandra, right? And say, oh, Krishna, oh, how nice, Krishna is dressed as a king. And when you're cooking and everything, so those sentiments and feelings that you're cultivating, they begin to pervade your life in anything that you do. You see that. Ram Roy, when he does the kirtan in Union Square, you know, he does have some nice realizations, actually. You know, of that mood, of, you know, he sees in the spiritual world the relationship between Radha and Krishna, the service, the love is bringing people for the service of Krishna. So he sees in that service the same mood. And then, of course, there's the factor of Lord Chaitanya. So this just, it's like the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness in 10 minutes. But there's also the question of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Chaitanya's mood of that type of service and serving Lord Chaitanya and getting his mood. And what is Lord Chaitanya's mood? It's Krishna who wants the mood of Radha. Krishna himself is trying to develop those moods. Okay, let me just see. And then, characteristically, Rupa Goswami only gave 3 verses because it's a matter of realization. You can explain all you want in detail. It doesn't mean anything unless you have realization. And that means it's also spontaneous. So you can't have so much... You can't, you know, this is the extent that you can have the direction of how to form it. It's going to come from the heart and move in different ways. Irmala, you met Irmala? She was here. She wrote I'll try to post that article. She wrote an incredible article on this. But I think it's beyond this class. I'll just post the article. If you want to read it, you can read it. But anyway, these are the 3 verses, and basically what it means is by chanting the holy name and purifying yourself and being humble and developing a mood of selfless service and surrendering to Guru and Krishna and gradually purifying your heart and begging for the mercy of devotees, then eventually what will happen is then a spirit to serve Krishna will awaken in your heart and you'll have what's called lobha or greed. And what greed means is I want it. Beg, borrow, or steal. That's what greed wants. I want it. Beg, borrow, or steal. I want it. And if you say, do I have it? I'm not sure. If it's an intellectual thing, I'm not sure or not. If this is my relationship with Krishna, you don't have it. It's like when a young boy loves a young girl, the parents can say, no, that's not the right boy. You can't say you don't have that feeling. You're in love. So we begin. Somehow or other, we have been given by Prabhupada, Bhagavat Sarup Gyan, Sambandha Vishesh Gyan, we've been given the form of God whom we're connected to. Right here, it's Radha Murali Dar. That's your Lord. And basically a relationship. I am a servant of Krishna. And I'm a servant of Radha. But that will become more specific. And by some blessings, by some mercy, by generally in our line and most lines, it just awakens in the heart by one's spiritual practice. And even Prabhupada himself didn't particularly reveal what his relationship is with Krishna externally, because it would be abused in an international movement. I can tell you that. Bhakti Siddhanta did. Bhakti Vinod Thakur did. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji did. In our line, they revealed that this was my spiritual identity relationship to Krishna. But so by chanting, you come to a point where you have a feeling and an idea how you should serve Krishna, and then the essence of all advice is become absorbed 24 hours a day. And then there's three verses, and this is the first one. A devotee should always reside in the transcendental realm of Raja. Rupa Goswami says if you can't do it physically, then within your mind, and always engage in the remembrance of Krishna and his beloved associates. So you have a feeling that I'd love to serve Krishna as a mother. And then you'll be meditating on what does Mother Yasoda do and what are her feelings. And you'll aspire for it. And you'll hear about that. And then you'll say, yes, I want to do that. I want to think like her. I want to act like her. I want to have the same service as she has. And then there are scriptures that will describe it in a very, very elaborate ways. What are the different emotional components of that feeling? And what are the different actions of those, that feeling? And what does Krishna look like as a child? And there'll be elaborate descriptions of Krishna's different ages. And that's what someone will be interested in. And they'll follow the footsteps of such an associate. And that will guide their bhakti. And then by that, this intense desire to serve Krishna with awakened heart. And that's the goal, isn't it? The goal is desire, intense desire to serve God in a particular relationship. And then the next verse, so what will happen is, by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, your heart will become purified. And when your heart is purified, you'll be qualified to meditate. That's called smaran. You'll be qualified. Yes.
What is Vraja?
What? What is Vraja? Vraja is another term for Vrindavan. Generally, Vraja means the pasturing fields of Vrindavan. But it gets, the terms are synonymous, like Vrindavan. Vrindavan is one of the 12 forests, a Vraja mandala. The whole thing. But the whole thing gets called Vrindavan. It also gets called Braja. Braja is a very... And the people who live there are called Brajabasis. The people who live there. There were three verses. And the next one is, in the transcendent land of Vraja, one should serve the Supreme Lord with a feeling similar to that of his associates. So you're serving, but a feeling similar to one of the associates. Krishna is my son. Krishna is my lover. Krishna is my friend. And you should place yourself under the direct guidance of a particular associate of Krishna and should follow in his footsteps, in Prabhupada, in that sense. But it says, this method is applicable both in the stage of sadhana, spiritual practices, while in the stage of bondage, and the stage of sadhya, when one is a siddha purusha, a spiritually perfected soul. So it says, seva sadhaka rupena, siddha rupena, chaturhi. So the way I've heard this verse explained is that one will develop a particular attraction. And I want to serve Krishna as a gopi or a particular gopi. And our line is called Manjari. They're young gopis. And one, they're very selfless. They just want to serve Radha. So one is, and then they, I want to have that type of love. And it's not just an external thing. It's a particular type of selflessness and love. And it has a form. The problem is that form corresponds in this world has a different consciousness, which is selfishness, but it's a form. It's actually a form of selfless love. And when one actually has that feeling and wants to follow it, then, for example, Rupa Goswami, he's Rupa Manjari. He has a perfected form in Krishna Leela, and he's also a practitioner in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. And so one would see how Rupa Manjari was serving, and there's verses, what the different services are. Like in Radha Krishna, they're making what's called tambula. It's betel nut and spices, or they're bringing water, or they're, you know, making garlands, or that's why deity worship sometimes is such an intimate service, because you're doing the things that you would be doing in your perfected state, but you're actually able to do them now, even in just a in your ordinary consciousness. You're making garland. But there may be, that may be a service. So you're thinking of those pastimes, and there's a particular time of the day, and you're meditating on a, and there's verses that describe what all the services are. And then you're meditating on that, and you're meditating on it, I would like that. And then you hear another verse, I would like that. And you hear all the different ways in which that service is performed, and you're hankering for it because you have that spirit in your life. And you're hankering for it. And then you're meditating at the different times of the day, what that person does and how that person feels and the different leelas and the different pastimes. And one is just meditating on it. I want this. But it all begins that you have to have that sense of relationship. Or if you don't have that sense of relationship fully manifest, then you're practicing in that way, but you have an aspiration for it. I would like to have that awaken in my heart. I would like to serve in that way. And then it may. Prabhupada talked about the mental culture of Krishna consciousness. He said when you're taking prasadam, you can think of Krishna taking with the cowherd boys. So you may not even have that feeling yet, but you can say, I would like to have a feeling like that. I would like to be one of Krishna's friends. And then you're meditating on the past. So it generally, this is what's being described. What's being described is that someone is chanting and hearing, and as he's advancing, he becomes attracted to Krishna, and he becomes attracted to serving Krishna. And then as he gets purified by the chanting, he becomes qualified for meditation. So then as he's chanting, he's hearing Krishna's name, and then his form, and then his pastimes, and then he's thinking, and he's really aspiring. Right? Let's say, I would like to be cook for Krishna. You know, and then he's meditating on Mother Yasoda cooking for Krishna. And I would like to do this. And I would, and then the cows and the forests and whatever it is, whatever the relationship is. And there are books that will place you there. What does a person do and think at this particular time of day when the pastimes are going on? And then you're chanting and you're chanting and you're chanting. What are you chanting? You're chanting the name of your beloved Lord. You're not just chanting the name, you're chanting your friend. You're chanting your lover. You're chanting your child, the name. And this way, so this is what's being described. And then the last verse says, you don't give up the practices. that Rupa Goswami mentioned, but they're done in a different way. For example, deity worship, you're doing it under regulation, right? Part of your thing is I worship the deity at this particular time, but then it becomes different. You're not just worshiping the deity. You're still following, I worship the deity and I do this, but what are you thinking? It's my friend, or I'm the servant of Radha, or you're my child, or whatever. And you don't give up chanting. One of the things, one of the principles of Vaidhi Bhakti, you hear the Bhagavatam, but what are you hearing? You're hearing about those pastimes. You're hearing about those stories. And you're hearing the whole Bhagavatam, but you're hearing it in terms of your relationship with Krishna. Even you'll hear about creation, but you'll think, how wonderful is my friend that he's also God. And he's also creating. I give the example, I just went somehow or other, right before this was my mother's 95th birthday. So I had, and it started at 1 o'clock, but I couldn't come at 1 o'clock because I was a surprise guest. So I could only come at 2 o'clock. And then I had to come at 2 o'clock and be back here at 3. So Moses had to part the Williamsburg Bridge. and I made it back in 15 minutes.
From New Jersey?
No, it wasn't Jersey. Oh. I should tell you. No, it was in my niece's loft in Williamsburg. So it was a little closer. But still, I'm just saying, my mother can see me as guru, as teacher, as anything. But it's her son, the guru. So you can look at everything through your own relationship. So even the Bhagavatam, what will happen is you're reading the Bhagavatam and you'll still read the Bhagavatam, but you'll read it through your relationship with Krishna. You'll read it through your relationship with Krishna. And then at a particular time, then you'll start cultivating that way. You'll maybe it'll take a little bit, you know, retired life a little bit more or whatever. But no, not necessarily. When that spirit wakens in the heart, then one can start cultivating it, even if there's just a general attraction. But I definitely want to get on to the more, because I want to issue the cautions too. I don't want to create what's called sahajya. Sahajya means where you take things cheaply. This is not cheap. That just, a sentiment, Radhe, 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 Radhe. It's a little bit more deep than that. Okay, before we go on to the higher subjects, any questions? Gail.
Pure devotees, they have, they don't care what they do for Krishna to please him. You know, the important thing for them is that he be pleased. But at the same time, you know, as individuals, they do have particular propensities. So, what is their attitude toward it?
That's such a nice question, Gail. It'd be something like this. When you go to an Italian's house, they'll serve you pizza. Their goal is to please you. But they have a propensity and a liking. And that liking makes them think something is best. And when you go to a Gujarati's home, you know, they'll make you dokla and different things. You go to, you know, Mexican's home and you go like that. So it there's whatever you like the best, you can offer with the most devotion. So taste does have a factor in it. And also, you know, our propensities means we do things best. When we have a propensity, we do something best. And when we do something best, that's what we'll offer to Krishna. Even in Vrindavan, the peacocks are beautiful, so they offer their beauty. The birds sing, they offer their singing. So there is a correlation like that. But the goal or objective is that Krishna is pleased. And if Krishna is not pleased, then they're not, they won't want to do it. Like you may sing so beautifully, right? But let's say the person is exhausted and he has to go to sleep. You know, so you're going to start singing. You know, I mean, no, you know, at that particular time, you're thinking of the person's pleasure. Yeah, it would. It would. But what I'm trying to say is the core mood of love, you know, is what the person like. Like, for example, a mother may love to cook, right? And she does that with so much. She does it so well. She can, you know, she can make something so pleasing. But if the child is sick, then she just may have to boil vegetables. So the objective is, the main core thing in all this is what is bhakti? It's that desire to please Krishna. That's what becomes, and there's no other desire in your heart. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnanakarma. Your desire is to please Krishna. Now, you have different propensities, and obviously, I can please Krishna really well by singing. And we see in all the associates of Lord Chaitanya, so many people have different propensities and they use those propensities to please Krishna. I remember when they asked this great scholar in Vrindavan, can we offer Krishna pizza? And no one really, you heard this many times, you didn't know what the answer would be. Because you could say, well, Krishna, you know, this is what Krishna likes to eat. But scholars are objective. He said, whatever you like best, you can offer with the most devotion. And whatever you do best, you can offer with the most devotion. So there is a propensity. But ultimately, and I'm saying this, you know, I always say 65, when did that happen? But what I'm thinking even myself is, you know, really the meditation on cultivating that. It's so easy to mix what you're doing with what you like because you like it. And it actually covers the feeling of the pleasure of Krishna. And mostly, Pradyumna, the scholar who lives here, he said, bhakti means to make yourself available for service. So that becomes more and more prominent. And when that's prominent, then it's patram pushpam palam toyam yo me bhakta. Out of love, I offer a fruit, flower, love with devotion. The next verse is yet karoshi asnasi. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, make as an offering. So the second verse, your desires come first, and then come Krishna's. Because I like to eat, I make an offering. Because I like to work, I like to do, I make an offering. But pure is patram pushpam palo toyam, with devotion and love. You know, you offer. The love should come first in the bhakti. And when the love comes first, then the propensities, I can do this very well. It just says, like, the best service is kirtan, and the best kirtan is to sing for Krishna, unless someone else can sing better. Then that becomes your pleasure. But if the ego's there, you're going to, when am I going to lead? You know, when am I getting the stage? And then... Yes.
So something that you're saying, like you're around people with beautiful relationships with Krishna, and that inspires you to say, "I want that."
Yeah.
I want that.
Especially reading about it, and also people. Yeah.
Then you do your devotion in that, in the hopes of that. But it's something that I struggle with is selfishness. I feel like, is that selfish to more like...
Well, a mother has motherly love for their child, right? The mother has motherly love for the child, right? Is that selfish? She doesn't have a romantic feeling, right? She has a motherly love. It's just natural. It's a natural, it's not something that's external to the core self of service. It's born from service. And everybody has a nature to serve and a relationship. That's what they are, and that's how they serve. And if one has that spirit, in our particular line, we kind of, our understanding is everyone is something, and it will awaken with the proper association. And then when it wakens up, that's your relationship. That's your child. And then you'll like, I want to serve in that way because that's my love. Love has, prema has three characteristics, and the three characteristics of prema are, one, you want to be with the person. You want to serve the person, you want to have a relationship with them. That's what love is. But it's for the pleasure of the person, and the service takes precedence over being with them and having the intimacy also. But also, naturally, love, you want it. Okay. Any other questions? Gail?
About the fact that in the name it reveals itself, you know, love is...
What's that?
The revelation of the name is, you know, the form, the
quality, yeah.
The pastime.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the form, pastimes, you know, I can relate to that.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the fact that the name also reveals its quality, that comes with more abstract. So just like use your
brushes,
you know, example. Is there an example you can use to make it more concrete?
What? But him, also him. You may, it's great with Chani Virabhadra's name, huh? Making famous. But it's a good example anyway. But you know, he's kind of a very loving person. Mm-hmm. So you know, that's his nature. You know, and someone may have another type of nature, and you know, that's what it means. You know, like for example, Lord Chaitanya is so magnanimous. You may just feel his compassion. You know, or say of a mother may be overflowing with love. So when you chant the name of that mother, you may feel like their love. And you know, and you can think of different people, you know, from Savitri, Bhattacharya, to all the, that, you know, they have certain qualities. And when you think of them, those qualities also are there. And that's part of developing love for that person. But what I want to mention, we're probably not going to be able to really cover it all today, is that it's all based on the mood of service. It's not something that we're doing to enjoy, you know, or exploit. It's not that way, but it's actually, we're entering in a mood of service. And that core mood of service is what manifests into a relationship. And service is based on humility. It's based on giving up pride. So this is what Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Prabhupada really emphasized. You know, you really have to become a humble servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. You know, and when you have that, you'll have some frame of reference to understand what Radha and Krishna means. Because it's not mundane lust. Or even Mother Yasoda and Krishna. It's not just an attached parent. It's the way the original love is manifest and maybe reflected here in this world. I really think we're going to have to set a date for another class.
Yeah.
Would anybody come, even though it's...
Yeah.
In the, but it may be the afternoon of Gadadhar Pandit's wedding. Can you handle both in one day, if you're invited? Okay, so on the 23rd, we'll meet at 23rd of July.
Oh, July.
Okay, we'll meet again, and because I think even just to go over the whole thing and just have questions and answers and discussions, and it's to discuss things like this, it just gives you a little taste or idea. People discuss one point for weeks. But I think it's interesting to give you a scope of what Krishna consciousness is. We still have more time. We haven't finished. We're going home. Let's go up to verse 9. Okay? Okay. The holy place known as Mathura is spiritually superior to Vaikuntha, the transcendental world, because the Lord appeared there. Superior to Mathura Puri is the transcendental forest of Vrindavan because of Krishna's Rasa Lila pastimes. And superior to the forest of Vrindavan is Govardhan Hill, for it is raised by the divine hand of Sri Krishna and was the site of his various loving pastimes. And above all, the super excellent Radha Kund stands supreme, for it is over flooded with the ambrosial nectarian prema of the Lord of Gokula, Sri Krishna. Where then is that intelligent person who is unwilling to serve the divine Radha Kund, which is situated at the foot of Govardhan Hill? So now, there's going to be three verses at the end about this place, Radha Kund. And I can't wait to go back there. I'm going to, by October 17th, I have a place by Govardhan Hill. And I've been going there every year for the last 40 years or something, maybe 25, because I didn't go every year before that. And I stay, and I take that month for myself. There's a month called Kartik, and Kartik is the month of Radha, and there's supposed to be a sale. And a sale means that you get something even though you can't pay for it. Or you pay less. And so there's a sale on bhakti. There's a sale on bhakti in Kartik, in Vrindavan. And it says what can't be achieved with great difficulty, love of Godhead, outside can be achieved in that month. And so I took advantage of it, and I take a namvrata, and a group of us have been meeting out there for about 20, 25 years. I've been out there for a long time, but recently, at least in the last 16, 17 years, Vaisheshika Prabhu, Keshava Bharti Maharaj, and myself, we're kind of like the core. And then some people come and stay out there with me. And somehow or other, I don't have my own place, but a friend gave me a place. And it's very simple. I didn't even have hot water for like the last 3 or 4 years. Or a shower. It's like a kind of, I'd have to put it on the stove and heat up the water and things. And it's a very simple place. And then next to me, I have some place too. And it's kind of an interesting place. I can't describe it, but and this year, Radu Kumari and Brajaraj, they'll come stay. We'll go around every morning around Govardhan Hill. It's a very amazing experience. We'll go around half every morning, one half one side, the other half the other half. And it's a special place, but I'm going to read, that's text 9, and then that described hierarchy of places. Now it'll describe hierarchy. Someone help me, please?
Yeah, hierarchy.
I'm kind of like if the dead end kid's got a PhD. But, then the next verse will describe a hierarchy of practices and people who do them. So you said there's different hierarchies. One is the places. It goes, even in the spiritual world, there's a hierarchy of places. And then now there's a hierarchy of processes. It says, in the Shastra it is said that of all types of fruitive workers, he who is advanced in knowledge of the higher values of life is favored by the Supreme Lord. Hari. And of many such people who are advanced in knowledge, jnanis, one who is practically liberated by virtue of his knowledge may take to devotional service. He is superior to others. However, one who has actually attained prema, pure love of Krishna, is superior to him. The gopis are exalted above all the advanced devotees because they are always totally dependent on Sri Krishna, the transcendental cowherd boy. Among the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the most dear to Krishna. Her Kund Lake is as profoundly dear to Lord Krishna as this most beloved of the gopis. Who then will not reside at Radha Kund and in a spiritual body surcharged with ecstatic loving service to the divine couple Sri Radha Govinda, who then will not reside at Radha Kund and in a spiritual body surcharged with ecstatic devotional feelings, aprakrita bhav, render loving service to the divine couple Sri Radha Govinda, who perform their astakalila lila, their eternal eightfold daily pastimes. Indeed, those who execute devotional service on the bank of Radha Kund are the most fortunate people in the universe. Should I bring the Govinda Lilamrita next class? Would you like to hear a section from the day in the life of...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? It's so fascinating because it says eightfold. There's eight periods of the day. Nishant Lila and different periods of the day. And then it's described what Radha and Krishna do during the eight periods of the day and what their devotees do and what the sentiments do and what the kirtans are and what the services are. Generally, at our level, we could read the book once. Someone I asked them, they said, yeah, you can read it once. But Prabhupada, in the Krishna book, said that one day my devotees will read books they should read by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Krishna Bhajanamrita, which is another book that describes these. So Prabhupada is very merciful. He described these books and said, yes, this is part of our tradition. And you can see when you get legitimate interest in this, but based on really a mood of humble service and dedication and surrender, how juicy and absorbing Krishna consciousness can be, and chanting and this. So really, when I'm even giving this class, I'm just becoming so enlivened just to talk about these things. But I know that to really imbibe these things and understand them in a deep way, we have to take shelter of the holy name. But this could be the inspiration to do so. Whether, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're renounced or in family life, etc. If the mood or spirit enters your heart, that I want to serve Krishna as one of the residents of Vrindavan serve Krishna. I want, or even if that's not fully matured, just to hear these pastimes and hear about Vrindavan and hear about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? It is Krishna who has come wanting to be a resident of Vrindavan, to serve himself. So Lord Chaitanya has that same spirit. It's God wanting to become his own devotee. But what type of devotee? A devotee in Vrindavan. So when you serve Lord Chaitanya and Lord Chaitanya's mission, when you serve someone, What happens is you have to take their desire into your heart as your own. So when you serve Lord Chaitanya and serve Lord Chaitanya's mission, here at the Bhakti Center, when it's the big festivals and it's the other activities and whatever service you are and doing the garlands and whatever service, sweeping the floor of the temple or going out and chanting the holy name to bring more souls to lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Muralidhar and Sri Sri Radha Govinda. Yes, when you do that, you'll gradually have to understand the mind of Lord Chaitanya and his heart. And this is what his heart is. It's Vrindavan. So there's a direct correlation between the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and getting these feelings in your heart. And I know people who have very pronounced feelings, but then during December they go out and they want to distribute these transcendental literatures to other people, but also connected to that, to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And by getting that mercy, have these things enter into one's heart. And then the last verse is, of the many objects of favored delight and of all the lovable damsels of Vrajabhumi, Srimati Radharani is certainly the most treasured object of Krishna's love. And in every respect, her divine kund is described by great sages as similarly dear to him. Undoubtedly, Radha Kund is very rarely attained, even by the great devotees. Therefore, it is even more difficult for ordinary devotees to attain. If one simply bathes once within these holy waters, one's pure love of Krishna is aroused. Anybody want to go to Radha Kund tomorrow? Yeah. Yes. But let me say, but here's what it says. One should bathe there regularly and give up all material conceptions, taking shelter of Sri Radha and her assistant gopis. Giving up all material conceptions. If one is thus constantly engaged during his lifetime, after giving up the body, he will return back to Godhead to serve Sri Radha in the same way he contemplated during his life on the bank of Radha Kund. The way he contemplated, giving up all material conceptions. So, now let me explain something. If I can complete the class, I'm going to try to explain what Radha Kund is. And first, the hierarchy of space. What makes one place better than another place? I always give the example, what makes your living room better than your office, even if you're the boss? And it's the facility the place gives you to experience a particular type of love. So generally, just like I went to visit my mother, my 95-year-old mother, at my niece's apartment. It was really perfect because I was appreciated and I was only there for 20 minutes. But I was so appreciated that I was at 20, 30 minutes. But, you come in and it was amazing. I never saw this before. There was an album of when my father, there's about 50 or 75 pictures when my father was in World War II. Stationed in Hawaii. So all these pictures, and then there was all pictures and pictures and pictures. And so the whole place, the environment was there to facilitate familial love. Right? So if your highest feelings are family and things like that, then this is your ecstasy. So there's a relationship between the places and the feelings that you have. And the deeper and more intimate the feelings, the more you will like that place. You'll like the place that facilitates it. I gave a simple example. It's kind of, I made this up myself to help you understand the relationship between place. And what place means is, what are the sights? What are the sounds? What are the, you know, smell? What does it feel like? The environment. So I give one example, and I just to make it a little bit understandable in just a very practical way. I describe, did I tell this year, like a romantic setting? No? Okay. Well, this guy, you know, he's courting this very beautiful girl. So, you know, it's in his living room, and he makes a nice table, and there's, you know, little glass vase with some roses, and he has some nice aguru incense, the finest incense burning in the place. And then he has a particular type of music for the romantic feeling. And then there's going to be a nice dinner. And the lights are a little, this candlelight, it's a little dim, right? It's enhancing, it's facilitating a particular mood. But, you know, his friend was in the house the day before. And his friend was a practical joker. So he knew that he was going to put a particular album, you know, some real soft romantic music in the thing. But he sabotaged it. So the girl comes in and he, you know, takes off her coat and he like hangs it on the hanger, and then he takes the chair out and sits her down on the chair, and the candles are lit and it's beautiful. And then he turns on the music and it says, "Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early." You see, it doesn't work, right? So the sense is, the more intimate the love, the more sweet the place becomes, and it becomes more dear to you. The place, people like their living room. If they have like a, you know, beautiful family, and there's pictures of family and little snacks to sit and coffee table books and couches and facing each other rather than these chairs where you sit at the office. So there's a correspondence between the revelation of your heart and the environment you want, and it facilitates it. So what it's saying here, what Krishna means, and I've always described this, Krishna's Akhila Rasamrita Murti, it's when God is at home. And then God wants to experience the most intimate love. Therefore, the setting becomes Vrindavan. The setting becomes very sweet. It becomes rural. It becomes pastoral. It facilitates the opening of the heart to the highest degree, where if you're in a palace and thrones and rubies and diamonds and rings and pearls and thrones, it facilitates another type of love, which is for, you know, the person who loves the queen or they like the king. And that's a type of love. It's not as intimate. So there's an environment of Aishvarya or opulence, which facilitates the mood of reverence. And then there's a more home-like pastoral setting, an environment which is called Madhurya or very sweet, that facilitates the love. And even God himself, his form and his when God wants to enjoy intimate love, then he, you know, he comes home. When the person comes home, they take off the, you know, the court robes, you know, the judge. Imagine the guy comes into his home, you know, and he loves his family, and he's still wearing the robes of the court in the thing. No, he takes that off. He doesn't. He wants a more intimate love at home. So he takes off his majesty. He takes off his position. It manifests his sweetness. So Krishna means God when God can be himself. And when that's there, there's an environment that facilitates it. So first it says there's Mathura. Krishna is still a bit of a king. So there's a more royal city-like atmosphere. But higher than that is Vrindavan, because Vrindavan is Krishna's home. And in the 12 forests of Vrindavan, especially the forest of Vrindavan, it's the I'm going to get to Radhakund and how this works. So then there's Vrindavan. It's a little bit more intimate, but in Vrindavan, what does that mean? Vrindavan means there's still the parents, right? And Mother Yasoda, and it's very sweet and very intimate, but the full blossoming of friendship and romantic love doesn't happen in the home either. So then Krishna goes out to the forest of Vrindavan. So it facilitates a more openness. So it's a higher place, Govardhan Hill. Because every day Krishna goes out to Govardhan Hill. So he leaves the parents. So there's more intimate love with his friends and then with the gopis also. There's more intimate love. So the place is also higher. Just like the living room is higher than the office, the place is higher because it facilitates a higher form of love. And then in Govardhan Hill, there's a place called Radhakund. At least externally from the Leela, what that means is Krishna, even at midday, I described everybody in India at midday is either eating or they're sleeping. So people occupy, they don't go out during the day. You know, that siesta. But Krishna goes to Radhakund. And in Radhakund, there's not only Radharani, there's only Radharani's group. There's the most intimate group of the lovers of Krishna. And it's very, very secluded. So that place facilitates the most intimate exchange of love between Krishna and Radha. The most intimate exchange of love. So what it means is, with God, the heart and the love he wants to experience becomes none different than the place. It's not that God has to go to a place. When God wants to experience a particular type of love, that love itself becomes the place. So when God wants to exchange in the most intimate, intense way, with his Purna Shakti, his full potency, the manifestation of the internal potency, when God wants to enjoy that, then with that love, with that person who represents that, comes the place. And that's Radhakund. So the place is none different than the person. The place is none different than Radha. And Radha's love, and that intimate love. And there are descriptions of that place. Let's see if I can... I thought I had descriptions of the place, but I can bring that the next time too. But somehow that place becomes so sacred. It's existential. It's not just geographical. It's when Krishna, which means the full manifestation of God, at the height of his enjoyment of love, with the full expansion of his Shakti or internal potency. And when he wants to, without inhibition, I describe it, you know, at the home, the father could always walk down. He's around. The heart can't come out fully. At Govardhan, the cowherd boys are still there. But at Radhakund, there's only Radharani and Radharani's assistants. So that type of love, full heart, full expression at the highest, it actually is non-different from a place that facilitates it. And therefore, that's the perfection. To be able to realize that place and to be able to drop, taste a drop of that love. And in our tradition, that's what we're aiming for. To serve. But without the mood of service, we're not there. Initially, when the devotees came, from America, the first devotees, and I told you, they looked at Radhakund, they did what they do at any swimming place. Flips, cannonballs, splashing. And when Prabhupada found out, he was furious. He said they didn't go to Radhakund, they went to Narakakund. Narak is Sanskrit for hell. He said, because, you know, without faith, you don't experience spiritual phenomena. You don't see it, you don't touch it. So you have to go there in the mood of respect. But those that are great souls and great devotees, they meditate on those things. And they aspire for those things, and they taste those things. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he wouldn't live at Radhakund. He lived at Radhakund, actually, but he said we should stay at Govardhan. Because he always wanted to have the mood of reverence and respect. Because if you approach it in the mood of enjoyment, it's not there. So he always wanted to go, and he said, that's for my gurus. My gurus are qualified to go there. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is so much in that mood that the negative attracts the positive. The positive is Krishna, the negative is our humility. Without the humility, we'll never attract it. So he was always on guard. And he saw how Krishna consciousness had become abused when people, he said, fools rush in where angels dare to tread. So I'm just going to read a few things about this. And I think as we discuss it, we can go on, Rati. We can... The previous one. No. Oh. Go to text 9. Go to text 9. That's it. Advanced devotees prefer to reside at Radhakund because this place is the site of many memories of the eternal loving affairs between Krishna and Radharani. Basically, in our line, all our acharyas, seva sadaka rupena, siddha rupena, chaturhi, so they had a form as a practitioner in Chaitanya Leela. There was Rupa Goswami, there was Gopal Bhatta, there was Raghunath Das Goswami, there was Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. But they also had a spiritual identity in Krishna's Leela. And practically all of them, that spiritual identity was at Radhakund, serving internally in those pastimes in the spiritual world, in their sarup, their form. So in that way, all our great acharyas lived on the bank of Radhakund. Externally, at one time or other, they were there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a house there. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur lived there. Gaurakishore Das Babaji lived there. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur lived there. But also, internally, in their form in Krishna's Leela, they also resided there. And this is a very interesting thing that happened. See, every year on Prabhupada's disappearance day, Prabhupada disappeared in Vrindavan, right? But I celebrate in Govardhan. This is a hidden secret. The best Prabhupada disappearance festivals. It's not a hidden secret anymore. Okay. In Govardhan, last year we had Radhanath Swami, Sachinandana Swami, Vaisheshika Prabhu, so many incredible devotees. But one time I was going there for the disappearance festival, and then I saw this very, very saintly lady. Her name is Srimati. She's very, very, very elevated. And I have some good relationship with her. And she's very deep in Krishna consciousness. There are people like this. I can't say enough how deep she is. Mother Divya was close with her. But I saw she was going to Govardhan. And when I was going into the festival at Govardhan, we have a place, I said, "What are you doing here, Mother Srimati?" Prabhupada left the world in Vrindavan. And then she looked at me and said, but he eternally resides here. And the fact of the matter is, and this is very deep, the fact of the matter is, when it says in the story of Putana, where this witch disguised herself, changed her form into a beautiful woman who came and wanted to nurse Krishna, but she had poison on her breast, and then she was about to kill Krishna. Then Krishna sucked out her poison and sucked out her life air. And then she revealed who she really was. She was a witch, and then her form came out. So in the commentaries, it says, at the end of one's life, when death is imminent, a lot more of one's heart is revealed that normally you can't say. I know people had bad relationships with their parents, you know, then at the very end of their deathbed, they say, actually, I was proud of you, or something like that. And they never, you know, the ego, they couldn't admit it their whole lives. So things like that sometimes happen. So I had this own realization, because I was in the room in Vrindavan where a week or two before Prabhupada was about to leave, Prabhupada on his bed said, take me to Govardhan. And Trivikram Swami and Lokanath Swami went out to get bullock carts. He wanted to go by bullock cart. Prabhupada wanted to go to Govardhan. And somehow or other, the Ayurvedic doctor said it would kill him because of his condition. It'd be like suicide, so they decided not to take Prabhupada. But I kind of felt that his heart was being revealed at the end. That actually that is his eternal place. And that the great souls are there in their spiritual bodies. And the great souls want to reside there to meditate on that. And actually feel this highest love in our line, which is more the service of Radha than the service of Krishna. It's more the service of Radha than the service of Krishna. In fact, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that the only reason we worship Krishna is because Radha loves him so much. So it's a fact. That actually is our mood. So advanced devotees, they prefer to reside at Radhakund because the memories of the most intense love and the most wonderful service. Presently, there's a large lake known as Radhakund there. Rupa Goswami has given much stress to Radhakund because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire to find it. Who then would give up Radhakund and try to reside elsewhere? The places in Vrindavan were covered after 5,000 years. Lord Chaitanya sent the associates and they would go under different trees and chant and excavate the whole Vrindavan. It touches three states. And they'd find out where the places of Krishna was. But Lord Chaitanya is the only one that found Radha could. And Lord Chaitanya is in the mood of Radha. He's the only one that found that. No one could find it. And Lord Chaitanya found some paddy fields where there was two kuns, and he found that. So how special is that place? That he himself found that place. So for many, many reasons, this Radha Kund is, but you have to come to the next class because I really want to explain, you know, more about the mood, etc. But I do like, we have 20 minutes, break up into groups of two, start 5 minutes of free writing, and then discuss which point. Start your writing.
Can I have your attention, please? So I think we'll finish it up, you know, review what we did, discussions. I think it'll be really good, and go over the last few verses. But I think we'll, because there'll be that wedding and food and everything, for those of you who don't meet, we'll start at 3:30. So the class will be a little bit shorter. It'll be 3:30 to 5:30. And seeing the enthusiasm has inspired me that really we really want to do this and discuss these things more. And then we also, Kishori is going to bake some cookie.
Yes! Did you know that?
So we can also...
July 23rd, right?
Yeah.
I asked her, she knew that before now.
The group tested the site. So, it'll just be nice to just end it also with a little aside, if you haven't eaten the feast. Obviously, I'm not going to be able to eat much, because before this, I don't eat much, because you have to be really focused. But it is, you know, discussing these things and talking about these things, just to have a goal, an aspiration, and see the richness of our tradition, and feeling that, you know, it can really inspire our spiritual lives, you know. And those of you that are here on Tuesday, I'm going to give class on Tuesday, continue that Krishna story that I was doing. So we'll do that on Tuesday.
All right. Are you speaking tomorrow morning?
No. I'm actually going to New Jersey. Okay? So thank you. Anybody wants to help Runti with the chairs? That'd be nice, too. Okay? I'm going to get that for 3 minutes.